Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to look at a few things in chapter 3 here this evening about Paul's concern for the believers there at Thessalonica. And I was thinking this afternoon, you know, any man of God that's worth his salt and his call is concerned for the people of God. I mean, I still think about people, and you hear things that's happening to individuals that you just didn't think about, you know, and it concerns you. Even people that I pastored up at Zion Hill, I think about things that's happened to some of those individuals that came through the church, and they concern me. I still care about them. And I believe every man of God really cares about people that he's pastored, and he wants to see churches that'll prosper and grow even after he's gone. Nobody wants to see a church, I don't believe. Now, some may, but I'm talking about anybody that's got a heart for people, that's got a heart for God, and that's been called of God. I believe they want to see a church continue and do even better after they're gone than it did while they were there. I mean, that ought to be our desire. And I believe the Apostle Paul was like that. I don't believe he was really a jealous preacher. I don't think he had a jealous bone in his body. And he had some men that would stand with him and would help him. And we'll look at that just a little bit here in chapter 3. Let's read chapter 3. The Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborers to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a few minutes, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, into Paul's concern for the believers there at Thessalonica. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you know what each and every one stands in need of. Lord, sometimes we just need exhorted and encouraged in the things of God to continue on. Lord, and to be established in the faith, Lord, that was once delivered unto the saints. Lord, have your way. Lord, far as we know, everyone here saved this evening, made a profession of faith. Lord, there may be someone watching by the way of the webcast that don't know you as their Savior. Lord, we pray that that if there is, Lord, you'll speak to that heart tonight. Lord, help us all to draw closer by being in the house of God this evening. Lord, we love you. We love your people, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, I pray for Susie this evening that's sick again with COVID. Lord, I pray that you touch her body. Lord, you know her needs, Lord. And God, I just pray that you'd minister to her heart this afternoon. Lord, we love you and thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. I believe the key word in chapter 3 is established there in verses 2 to 3 and 8 and verse 13. It might not say established in some of those verses, but it alludes to the fact of being established in the faith. And new Christians go through times of testing, and unless they're established in the faith, when times of testing and afflictions come, they'll be upset by the devil. Paul was not satisfied. They had been saved there in chapter 1 and nurtured there in chapter 2. He wanted them to be established in the faith here in chapter 3. So as to be able to walk with the Lord there in chapter 4. And after all, little children must learn to walk. And what means did Paul use to establish these believers in the faith? And I want to give you four things this evening I believe that Paul used and the means that he used to establish these believers. And Paul, as I've already mentioned, you can sense in all of his letters that he writes, the 13 letters that we know that the Apostle Paul wrote, you can sense his love for people. He loved the Corinthians. He loved the Colossians. He loved the Romans that he wrote those letters to. He was concerned about them being established and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 3, we find four things, I believe, here that Paul's concern for the believers and what he did to establish the believers. Now, number one, first of all, here we see in verses 1 and 2, he sent them a man. He sent him a man here. When he couldn't go, he wanted to go, but there was something, reason, and he could not go. And you can go back and read some of those things. We will read some of them this evening. But we see that he sent him a man. He sent young Timothy. We know that Timothy was an asset to the Apostle Paul in the ministry. You study and you'll find that Paul loved Timothy and he took him under his wing, and we find that he had proved himself on many occasions, no doubt. Over in Acts chapter 16, we find how Paul began to work with young Timothy. If I can get there, Acts chapter 16. The Bible said, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." So we find here that he had met Timothy and his family. He had took Timothy and circumcised him because of the Jews would have not accepted probably Timothy. But Paul knew there'd be complications, so he didn't circumcise him because of means of salvation. But Timothy, we know, had trusted the Lord, no doubt, through the teachings of his grandmother and his grandmother. And we find here that Paul took him and he began to teach him. And we find that Timothy had proved himself on many occasions, no doubt, to be worthy to send to this church at Thessalonica. When Paul, there in verse 1, he said, "We thought it good to be left at Athens alone." So Paul seen the need to send Timothy in a place where he couldn't go because there was something there at Athens that he had to do, and he stayed there by himself and sent Timothy on before. We see Paul's estimation of Timothy over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's good to have men that you can trust and that you can work with. It's good to have someone that you can send in your place or to stand in your place when you're unable to be in that position that God's called you to be in. And I appreciate Brother Darrell that I can leave him in charge on Wednesday. Now, I don't have to worry about Darrell. I believe that Darrell is biblically sound. I believe he's doctrinally straight. And I don't know, we was to get to talking a lot and intent, we probably would disagree on some things, no doubt. But I've never heard him teach anything, and I've said it. And I'm not lifting Darrell up this evening. Hey, but Darrell's a good Sunday school teacher. He's a very good Sunday school teacher, and that's lacking in a lot of churches. And I just thank God that we do have someone here, have Brother Clint, that we can leave and let him preach if need be. And we've always had someone, usually, may at least one And some churches just have a slew of preachers. They can't even get around to them. But it's good to have someone that you can trust and that you can send in your place and stand in your place if you're unable to go. But we see Paul's estimation here of Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. He said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." So we find that Paul's estimation of Timothy, I believe it was a high estimation. He believed and he trusted in Timothy, hey, that he could send him even here to the Philippians, that when he couldn't come, and he was going to send Timothy, and he's like-minded. It's good to work with people that's like-minded. We have preachers and evangelists come in sometime, and we're going to have Brother John Morgan and Brother Scott Netterville, one of our missionaries, Scott Netterville. Hey, but he'll be with us in February, the latter part, and then Brother John's coming the 23rd, I believe it is, but on a Sunday for all day. And it's good to be able to preach men that are like-minded, and that you can trust that they're not going to come in with some unknown doctrine or something new. The Bible says there's not nothing new under the sun. If we preach this Bible, we're going to repeat ourselves. And I feel like sometimes I'm just a broken record. But I listen to other men of God that comes through, and they're not preaching anything different than I do. They may have a different mannerism. They may have a different delivery. Hey, but I'm glad that we can be like-minded about the Word of God, that this King James Bible is the Word of God. And if we rightly divide it, you know, we don't have to worry about what's going to be taught and the men that we knew. So we see God, I believe, uses gifted men to strengthen the church. And thank God for those that we can leave. Good teachers, good evangelists, good preachers. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible said, but verse 7 said, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And verse 12 tells us why he gave those: for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we see God uses gifted men. He uses gifted men to perfect or to mature the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ. So when hard times and tribulation, hey, you're going to face tribulations. The Bible tells us, and Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 there, said, "This know also in the last days perilous times will come." And talked about men having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it goes on down and says, "Whosoever shall live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution." And I'm under the impression that we probably haven't seen nothing yet. If Lord tarries his coming, he's coming right on time, but if he tarries his coming, we use that word lightly a lot of times, but because he said he will come and not tarry, but you know what I mean when I say if the Lord tarries his coming, hey, we may face some persecution. We may face some problems, because I'm going to tell you, this political system, everything, we're the problem. Those that stand biblically, and we're seeing things that we never thought would take place. But I'm glad that God uses gifted men to strengthen the church and the body of Christ. And if it wasn't for those men, where would we be as individuals? If it wasn't for those that we had sat under. I can think about men of God, and I mention them all the time, that I've had the blessing of sitting under and to listen to. I thank God that we have the means today that we can listen to other preachers in other places, and we can see churches on the webcast that are still standing strong. They're still standing firm. It's because of the men of God that God has left here and called and put in those places, the evangelist that comes through. The evangelist has a gift to come into the church, not only just to win souls, but the evangelist has a gift to come in and strengthen the body of Christ. And I thank God for those men. And we find here that Paul has stayed at Athens alone, and he sent Timothy to encourage and to establish these in the faith because he trusted Timothy, because Timothy was like-minded with him. And I thank God for those. So he sent him a man there in verses 1 and 2. Then secondly, we see he wrote him a letter, verses 3 and 4. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. And so we see that Paul wrote these Thessalonians two letters here, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And he gave us all. We know that he gave us 13 books of the New Testament. He's wrote letters to different churches to strengthen them and to establish them in the faith. And believers, I believe, are built up by the Word of God there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 to 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Bible said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." So we see Paul wrote them an epistle. He had taught them personally. He had established this church, and many of these had been saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Verse 16 said, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So we see that believers are built up by the Word of God, and we can find other passages, Romans 16, verses 25 to 27, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, but we find that without the Word of God, we would never grow in grace. We wouldn't know how to handle situations. And I looked up that word established there just a little bit ago, before left house. It's a word that comes from a Greek word, sterizo. It means to make stable. To make stable, to place firmly, to set fast, to fix, to strengthen, to make firm, to render constant, confirm one's mind. And we see a lot of churches today that they've got a lot of numbers, but in reality, they don't have no spiritual growth. I mean, they're babies in Christ. But thank God for some churches where they've been established in the Word of God, the things of God. And they know how to deal with tribulation when tribulation comes. They know what to expect, that it's not, everything's not going to always be hunky-dory. I mean, it's not going to be smooth sailing through this life. There's going to be problems, and it's going to get worse, I believe. And I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, and you know that. I mean, we need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm glad, that He's established us in the faith, where we won't be moved with every wind and doctrine. There were a lot of places taking Baptists, and that may seem like a small thing, but that's a big thing. That's a big thing. I don't want a pastor Open Door Tabernacle. Now, maybe Open Door Baptist Tabernacle wouldn't be too bad, but I just like that Open Door Baptist Church. I like Zion Hill Baptist Church. And I like to see that word Baptist, because when I walk into the church that's got Baptist on the door, most of the time I know, Brother Darrell, what's going to be preached in there. Now, it may get a little wild sometimes, even in Baptist church, but I know that if I'm in a biblical Baptist church, there's not going to be no tongue talking. There's not going to be no getting slain in the Spirit. There may be a little excitement, and I like a little excitement. I like to see people get happy. I like to see people enjoying their salvation. But I know what's probably going to be preached across the pulpit. And I have heard some borderline stuff out of a Baptist church and been in some places. But overall, if I go to a Baptist church, I know what's going to happen. And we're built up by the Word of God. He wanted them He warned them that afflictions were coming, hey, but they had seemingly had forgotten what He had taught them. And you know, it's easy for us to forget. Things get to going smoothly and everything's going good. Hey, and afflictions come. If we're not established in the faith, hey, if we've not been taught that these things are going to come, we may stumble. I've seen people that have stumbled down through the years because they weren't established in the faith. And He had warned them that these afflictions are coming. And I want to warn you this evening, afflictions are coming. There's troubles and problems in our Christian life that's going to take place. If we live for God and we stand for holiness and righteousness and godliness and stand for this Bible, hey, there's going to be some things that comes our way that we're not going to understand. Everybody don't like righteousness and holiness and being faithful. There's no substitute for the Word of God. I don't care how many programs and plans man might have. Hey, there's no substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I'm not preaching you anything deep this evening. I'm just preaching simple things that will help you be established in the faith if you trust the Lord Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul. He wanted them to be spiritually mature. Christians that are ignorant of the Word of God is prey to every wind of doctrine and never will be established in the Lord. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, again, verses 11. Verse 11 down through verse 16. Said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets. Now we know there's no more apostles. The apostles had their time. He gave them to the church. In the very beginning, He had 12 apostles. And those times of the apostles are ceased. And some prophets. There were some prophets that prophesied. They foretold things that was going to take place in the early days. In the book of Acts, there were still some prophets in there. It was a transitional book. If you'll always keep the book of Acts in mind as being a transitional book, it's transitioning through from the age of the law into the age of grace. There's some things that's happening in the book of Acts that don't happen today. It would happen to authenticate the Word of God, that it was being preached, that it was truth. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and we have evangelists today. We have evangelists that's on the field full-time, and that's their call is evangelism. Thank God for some good evangelists. Hey, the evangelists a lot of times can get people saved that may not get saved when the pastor's preaching sometimes. The pastor should do the work of evangelism. We should be seeing people saved. And if we go out and get them and bring them in, I promise you they'll get saved. When they hear the word of truth, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we preach Jesus, men are going to be drawn. Men are going to see their sinfulness, their need of a Savior. He said, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And the reason was for the perfecting of the saints. We read this a while ago. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see here that Paul... Christians that are ignorant of the Word of God, hey, they'll be tossed about and they'll be prey to those that are teaching false doctrine. That's why I say you need to know your Bible. You need to know your Bible. I mean, we're not all going to ever know everything. Hey, you better be careful what you read, too. a lot of these women preachers that's writing books, you better be careful, ladies. Don't get caught up in that. You'll get duped by the devil. I mean, you know, where much is given, much is required. If you sat under preaching and teaching of the Word of God, all those years that y'all have sat under Lee Benton and the years that you sat under me, hey, there's going to be a reckoning day one of these days with what you've done with what we've given you. And we need to be aware of that. Not be tossed about with every wind and doctrine. I've seen people, they're always looking for something new. Well, if it's new, it's not true. Because there's nothing that you're going to learn that hasn't already been taught probably to you. And so he wrote him a letter. He was encouraging them. Then we see the description of how Paul ministered the word at Thessalonica there in Acts chapter 7. We're not going to read it for sake of time. But you'll go back and write that down, Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 4. Number one, he reasoned with them. He reasoned with them out of the Word of God. He opened the Word implies explaining the meaning. He alleged certain truths, which means he gave evidence for them or laid them out in an orderly way for all to see. Jesus did the same thing. He reasoned with them. He taught them. He got in a boat and the crowd gathered around and he taught them the Scriptures. I mean, Jesus was the Word. So we see, he wrote them a letter. He sent them a man. Number three, he prayed for them. Verses 5 to 10. Verses 5 to 10. Let me find my place again. So for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So the Apostle Paul was praying for these people. He was praying night and day. For them to be perfected, for them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if there was anything that was lacking in their faith. He said there in verse 9, and you know, you read these verses a lot of times. The question is in verse 9, he said, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." So he asked a question, for what thanks can we render to God for you? Again, for you. For all the joy wherewith. And then he goes to explain in verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. The Apostle Paul loved these people. He cared about their growth. He cared about their spiritual maturity. They'd got saved. And I've said this many times, when we lead someone to the Lord, the work has just begun. We need to pursue that. And I believe if we get to that point where we love souls and we desire to see men saved and we begin to win men to the Lord Jesus, hey, we do all we can to disciple them. And I know a lot of times it just don't work out. I mean, people's got to want to be discipled. You can't make them be discipled. But a lot of times we could probably put forth a little effort and encourage someone a little more to give a little time that we might disciple them and tell them what God's done for them. You know, when you first got saved, you didn't know everything that happened to you. You didn't realize you got justified and sanctified and glorified all at one time when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, but after you'd been saved for a little while and began to go to church, hey, the preacher began to preach on justification, what it took place, that you'd been declared righteous for Jesus' sake, that you have imputed righteousness now. That you'd been sanctified. At the moment of salvation, we were sanctified. We were set apart for God's use. And then we were glorified. Just as sure as we'll be glorified one day, we're already glorified in the eyes of God when we trusted Christ as our Savior. So he prayed for them. Christ's ministry consisted of both the Word and prayer. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. Samuel ministered in the same way in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. He taught the people, but he said that he had sinned if he ceased to pray for them. You know, we don't think about it a lot of times, and we all fail, and we all sin in this matter of not praying one for another. Samuel said, I sinned if I ceased to pray for you. He knew his responsibility was not just to teach and to be the prophet and the priest there in Israel for the people, but he knew his responsibility was to pray for them, to pray about their enemies and pray for their lives, their children. He prayed for them. Paul himself prayed in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And then Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 6. And then we'll catch the last and we'll go to the house. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. When they chose those first deacons, the purpose of choosing those deacons had a reason behind it. The Bible said in verse 1, said, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer. And to the ministry of the Word. So we see these early apostles, these priests, hey, they were to pray for the people. And Paul here, he said that he had prayed for them. He was concerned enough to spend some time to pray that the Lord would establish them in the faith. That would give. He knew he couldn't be with them all the time, so he sent them a man. And we find that he prayed for them. He took time in his busy schedule. No doubt Paul was, we don't think about it, but Paul was probably a busy man. Preaching the gospel here and there, traveling all. He had to be busy to travel the miles that he traveled on foot and on donkey and on by ship. He had to be on the go all the time. Probably the days weren't long enough a lot of times. Especially in his latter years because they began to fly by. We talk about that all the time. And then we see lastly, he reminded them of Christ's return there in verses 11 and 13. He said, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We find that Paul mentions several times about the Lord Jesus Christ returned in 1 Thessalonians here. And even every chapter, I believe, he makes mention of the coming of Christ. And he reminded them that of Christ's return. And you know, we're living in the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. We used to, as kids, we'd hear the preachers preaching. It'd scare us a little bit about the coming of the Lord. You know, what's going to take place. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, the older we get, the more we hear about the coming of Christ, it ought to excite us that we could be the generation that gets caught out of here. And he reminded them of Christ's return. You know, if we really believe that Jesus is coming like we say we do, it'll regulate how you live. It'll regulate what you love. It'll regulate every area of your life. How you walk, how you talk, how you conduct yourself out in public. If we were expecting Jesus to come at any moment, hey, we might think more about some places we go in. We wouldn't want to be caught at a gambling table somewhere and Jesus come, would you? In a casino somewhere? Hey, I ain't going in a casino. I wouldn't go in a casino if I knew I'd win $1 million. I'd be afraid I'd win a million and everybody would know it. I'd be afraid to buy a lottery ticket. I have never bought a lottery ticket. Thank God and praise God I've never bought a lottery ticket. I'm not spending my money on no lottery ticket. I don't care how much it benefits our kids that go to school, the Hope Scholarships, and a lot of these kids have got to go to school because they had a Hope Scholarship. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of it comes from gambling money. That's all it is gambling. You're taking a chance, you're paying, and there's a lot of people addicted to that. I see them going into the stores, and I preached up at Murray. The only thing a woman remembered was that I preached on the lottery. I wonder why. Why did that stay? If we're looking for Jesus to come, it'll regulate how we live, how we talk, the things that we love, the places that we go, the people that we fellowship with. Paul emphasized three things to these Thessalonian believers here in chapter 3. Number one, he wanted to be with them. You know, there's something wrong with saved people, born-again people, that don't want to be with other Christians. I believe that. He wanted to be with these believers. He wanted to be with them for a purpose because he wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to establish them. Hey, but I believe also he just wanted to be with them. He wanted to be with them. He wanted them to abound in love. You know, that's one of the evidence of salvation is that you love the brethren. You love the brethren. And he wanted them to abound in love. He wanted them to grow in their love one for another. And then number three, he wanted them to be established in true heart holiness. He wanted them to be established in true heart holiness. And I promise you, if we get true heart holiness, it won't be too hard for us to live for Jesus. It won't be too hard for us to come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, that's only our reasonable service. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we present ourselves to God for His use, for His glory, that we might see people come to know Him. That we might see these pews filled here at Open Door Baptist Church. And I believe they can be filled. Even in 2021, in the midst of a pandemic that's keeping going, and it's not necessarily, I don't know, a lot of it's probably still political, but it's still real. We had a friend that just died of COVID. A lady that we've known. It wasn't a close friend, but it was a lady that we've known all of our life. It's someone of the faith. It's someone that we've met in church, that we was close to her sister and her family down through the years. I've known several people like that. My cousin, Dwayne Riles, he passed away just a few weeks ago. We left Colorado 2 days early because of his death and come home. We've known others, that men of God that have preached, that have passed away, that died of COVID. Brother Sammy Allen, he died of COVID. Brother Virgil Bonnard, he died of COVID. Others that we know have passed off the scene. But even amidst this pandemic, I believe that we could fill a church. If there's ever been a time people need churches today, Jesus is coming and they're not ready, a lot of them. They're on their way to hell, and if somebody don't reach them and tell them about it, hey, they're going to perish eternally in the flames of hell. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we get established in the faith that was once delivered unto saints. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord, this evening. Lord, we thank you for leading us this way, this direction this evening, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us take it to heart. Lord, that we allow the Word of God to work in our lives, Lord, to bring us closer to you. In these perilous times in which we're living in, Lord, we know tribulation is coming. Troubles are coming for those that wants to do right. We've seen it happening. Lord, just sometimes we're just too dumb to really realize what's going on. But Lord, I pray that you'd awaken us spiritually, Lord, where we can see the things that's taking place. Draw closer to you and reach out and try to get our loved ones in before it's everlasting too late. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody?